Good to see you this morning. Welcome again to Sardis, and thank you for joining us. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19. And if we believe what we just sang, then no matter where we are in life, no matter what we've experienced in life, no matter where we are headed in life, we're going to be just fine. Amen? If we truly believe what we just sang out to the Lord to be true, then that is certainly true of our lives. Matthew chapter 19, we're going to look at verses 16 through 22 this morning as we continue our Loving Generously series. We have talked about up to this point how impossible it is for you and I to love the way God wants us to love if we don't understand what love really is. If we do not understand that love is something that we must do instead of just something we talk about. It's a verb more than it is a noun. It's something that requires sacrifice. Love is something that requires unconditional commitment to someone. Love is a requirement for you and I. The Bible never suggests that we as believers love people. The Bible commands us to love other people. It is never a suggestion, even though we as Christians tend to make it a suggestion. And we've also come to understand that love is certainly something for you and I that requires us to be willing to make the changes that we need to make in our lives in order to love people the way God wants us to love them. And that's why last week we introduced some of the video segments that we're going to look at as we walk through this series together of a family called the Donovan family. And we began last week as they themselves had been experiencing a great transformation in their hearts and lives and learning how to really love the way God wanted them to love others and to minister to other people the way God wanted them to minister to other people. And last week, we talked about really the importance of examining the kind of people that we invite or that we welcome into our lives. Because if you're like me, then it's very easy for me to welcome people that look like church people into my life. It's easy for me to welcome the people that talk like I do into my life. And we know this. Every church is like this, and most believers are like this. It's easy for us to welcome the people like us into our lives. But last Sunday, we saw that if we desire to love generously the way God wants us to love, then we have to get beyond that. We have to begin to look at people the way God sees them. And we have to be willing to invite or to welcome every person, regardless of what they look like, into our lives, hoping that God will use us to minister to their lives and do a radical change in and through their lives. And that is what the Donovan family experienced last week as they held this large banquet, inviting people from the soup kitchen that they sponsor to that banquet. And many of the donors that give to the banquet were upset because of that. And one of the gentlemen you recall last week who was from the soup kitchen at that banquet realized that there were name tags placed on the tables for all of the people who were giving to the soup kitchen, but there were not name tags placed on the tables for the people from the soup kitchen themselves. And you and I, we treat other people that same way. We'll place out the name tags in our lives and for the people that look the part and act the part and are just like us, but yet the people who aren't like us, we have no place for them in our lives. But for the church to be the community that God wants us to be, all of that has to change. For us to be the church God wants us to be in this community, then that approach has to change. We have to rip up the name tags and begin to see other people the way God wants us to see them. To welcome anyone, no matter what they've done or where they have been, into our lives, because we ourselves have been welcomed the same way by God. And when God welcomed us into His family, He didn't give us this list of things that we need to look like before we were welcomed into His family. He didn't give us this list, this dress code that we have to follow before we're welcomed into His family. No, God welcomed us as we were, and then He began the transformation that only He could do in our hearts and lives as we entered into His family. And that is the way that we must approach other people as well. Now today, as we continue our Loving Generously series, we're going to continue with the Donovan family. We're going to begin to see the importance of cleaning out the clutter in our lives. And what I mean by that is this. Every single one of us, we have things in our lives that are cluttering up our lives, cluttering up our hearts, cluttering up our minds. And all of those things keep us, hinder us from loving other people the way God wants us to love them. And we're going to watch, first of all, and follow along with them as they understand that truth. And then we'll share with you the passage we're going to look at this morning. Enjoy the video, please. Cleaning out the clutter. There are moments in all of our lives when we have to be willing to take the for sale sign and place it in our lives and begin to get rid of the things that we don't need. How many of you ever heard of the A&E series entitled Hoarders? Anybody ever heard of that? You can raise your hand if you've heard of it. It's not meaning that you're one of those just because you raise your hand, okay? It's okay to raise your hand. Between 6 and 15 million people in the United States alone, that's and roughly 2.5% of all the world are considered to be hoarders. In fact, it's even considered an illness. And at least twice as many have the illness of hoarding than even those who've been diagnosed with the obsessive compulsive disorder called OCD. I even found a website, and it's called clutterhoardingcleanup.com. And on their homepage, they have the slogans, "Address our mess, we clean up your life." Now, at times, we are all guilty of keeping those things in our lives that clutter up our lives in unnecessary ways. And as I said a few moments ago, hinder us from doing the things that God wants us to do. Specifically, there are things that keep us from living the way God wants us to live, but more importantly, in the context of what we're talking about in this series, loving the way that God wants us to love. And loving generously, you and I, opening our lives to everyone, no matter what they look like or where they have been, the hurts and the pains they are experiencing, as messy as their lives may be, loving everyone calls us to the task of cleaning out all of that clutter in our lives. But here's the truth. It is only Jesus that can really help us address our mess and clean up our lives. And many of us are very familiar with the passage that we're going to look at this morning in Matthew chapter 19. We're going to read the story of a rich young ruler who had that same issue. A rich young man who came to Jesus and he asked Jesus specifically what good thing he needed to do so that he could have eternal life. Let's dig into this story together, and I want us to look at a few applications to our own lives that help us see the importance of cleaning out the clutter in your life and in my life so that we can love people the way that God wants us to love them. And so that really we can understand that the way God loves us is the way that we ourselves should love other people in our lives. Look in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 19 as we begin this story. We're told, "And behold, one came unto Jesus and said to him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if you will enter into life, or if you have the desire to enter into life," he says, "keep the commandments." Verse 18, he said unto Jesus, "Which ones?" Well, Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Verse 20, the young man said unto him, "All of these things I have kept from my youth up, well, what do I lack?" And verse 21, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect," if you have the desire to be made complete, perfect, righteous before God, he says, "Go and sell that thou hast, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And I believe verse 22 is one of the saddest verses in all of Scripture. "But when the young man heard that saying," what saying? The words that Jesus spoke to him in verse 21, "he went away full of sorrow, for he had great possessions." Cleaning out the clutter in our lives. I want to share with you just three very simple applications from this passage to your life and my life when it comes to getting rid of all the clutter and all the mess that keeps us from loving people, loving God the way we need to do that. And here's the first truth I believe we find in this passage. And there's a lot of different approaches to this passage, but here's the first thing concerning what we're talking about today is simply our possessions can possess us if we are not careful. The things we possess can possess us if we are not careful. And I try to come up with some rhymes that rhyme with clutter. And really on this one, you know, clutter is a word we must utter. You know, really for all of us, we have to come to the understanding that if we are not careful, then the things that clutter our lives, those things can begin to own us and possess our lives if we allow them to. Look again at verse 22. Verse 22. And let's look at this verse in a little more detail. So Jesus has just spoken to him of what Jesus wanted him to do so that he could experience the life on earth that Jesus wanted him to experience, but most of all, the life after in heaven that he wanted him to experience. But look at what we were told in verse 22. But when the young man heard the saying, when he heard what Jesus spoke unto him, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I think it is very, very significant. I think it is very, very telling that those two statements coincide in a single verse. I think it is very telling that we find he was full of sorrow, even though his life was full of stuff. I think it is very significant that those two phrases coincide in that one verse. Because here is the idea that we are given here. His possessions didn't make him happy. His possessions didn't bring him joy. His possessions did not bring him satisfaction. All the stuff he had, they did not bring him fulfillment. From this verse alone, we get the idea that his possessions possessed him and they had left him empty. Therefore, when he heard what Jesus wanted him to do, when he heard the words that Jesus spoke, he was full of sorrow, for he had great possessions. He had everything that he could want, but not the very things he needed. And because of that, his heart was full of sorrow. Now, maybe this was the first time in his life that he had ever heard something like he had just heard from Jesus. Maybe this was the first time in his life that he had ever heard that all the stuff that he thought amounted to so much amounted to so little in the end. Perhaps this was the first time in his life that this man who had everything was forced to realize that everything he had lived for meant very little in view of eternity. Maybe this was the first time in his life that this rich young ruler, although he had much, he realized that he had little. And he was unwilling to do what it took. What this verse does help us see is that this rich young ruler was brought to the realization that he had a problem that could not be fixed by getting more, by gaining more, by making more, by keeping more, and by earning more, but that his problem had to be fixed by selling everything and living the life that God wanted him to live. He had a problem that he had no desire to fix. And so he went away not full of joy, not full of happiness, not full of satisfaction and fulfillment and contentment. He went away full of sorrow. Again, his possessions had possessed him. They had possession of him. And here's the reality for all of us as believers, because we read this story and we think, well, that's not me. That will never be me. In fact, I don't have enough money for that to be me. I don't have enough stuff for that to be me. But here's the reality for you and I. Our possessions can possess us as well if we're not careful. The material wealth can possess us. The desire to meet the standards of society, that desire can possess us. The inclination that we have that we need to drive this car or live in this size of house or wear this or look like this, all of those things can possess us if we are not careful. And they can keep us from loving people the way God wants us to, because those things clutter our lives and they clutter our hearts and they clutter our minds. And so, yes, our clutter may look a little bit differently than this rich young ruler's. I don't know the size of all of your bank accounts. I know the size of mine. And I can't relate necessarily as much in the way that he was rich in all of the material wealth and possessions. But I do know this. I do know this. You don't have to have a lot of money to have a lot of clutter in your life. You may not have enough money to buy a candy bar in your bank account, but listen, your mind could be cluttered with all of the wrong things that it doesn't need to be cluttered with, and all of those wrong thoughts and all of those wrong mental approaches to people and to life, they can clutter your mind so much that you miss out on everything that God wants you to experience. Your mind can be filled with this entitlement mentality that everything should be made easier for you, that everything should revolve around you and everybody should cater to you. But somehow when we fall captive to that notion, we've forgotten that the Bible teaches us we're supposed to esteem the needs of others above our own needs. So the clutter may be different. Maybe your heart is cluttered with so much sin, maybe the sin of pride and the sin of self-righteousness, that we've become possessed with gaining more and getting more and achieving more, even at the sake of other people, even at the well-being of other people. And when we fall into the traps of being possessed by the things of life, the mindsets and the notions of life, then they possess us and they rob us from all the joy and the life that God wants us to have. And they hinder us from loving people the way we're supposed to love them, because we make our universe center around us and not God and not the people that God wants us to help and to meet. The possessions we possess can possess us. The things we own can own us if we are not careful. And it never turns out good when we do that. So first of all, are there things right now in your life that own you? And again, it doesn't have to be money. But are there things that own you that you supposedly own? Are there possessions that possess you that you supposedly possess? What does your clutter look like? Because I don't know what it looks like. God does and you do. What does your clutter look like? Maybe it's that wrong ideology, that wrong approach, maybe that wrong kind of heart toward other people. Or maybe it is something much more material, such as the case with the rich young ruler. But the saddest thing that can ever be said of you is that you go away full of sorrow because your possessions possess you. But that was the case in this rich man's life. If we want to love people the way Jesus wants us to love them, if we want to meet the needs in other people's lives, then we have to be willing to clean the clutter, and understanding that our possessions can possess us if we are not careful. But the second understanding that I believe we find from this passage is that we cannot always have what we need when we cling to our wants. We can't have what God really wants us to experience in our lives if we're always clinging and holding to the wants that we have in our life. Here's the rhyme with that: when clutter keeps us in the gutter, right? It keeps us in the gutter. And that's the truth. Let us not forget the question this man came to Jesus asking. He came to Jesus asking the question, what can I do to inherit eternal life? What can I do to have eternal life? Think about this. That is the question this man came to. And don't miss this powerful truth I'm about to share with you. This man came to Jesus wanting life, but he left okay with death. Have you ever thought about it that way? He came to Jesus saying, Jesus, good master, what can I do to have life? Obviously, he realized that what he had wasn't really life. Where he was headed wasn't heaven. So he's come to Jesus saying, what can I do to have life? But yet he is okay going away full of sorrow, holding on to the things that possessed him. He's okay with death instead of the life that he came seeking. And when what we have has us, we can never have the life that God wants us to have. He went away with his money, but he did not go away with what he really needed. He went away with everything he wanted and everything a person could want and nothing he needed, because his wants were more important to him than his greatest need. And this speaks about our priorities. How you and I, how we are so guilty of saying, God, I really need you to do this. God, I need you to answer this prayer and move it this way in my life. But when God steps back and he looks at our lives, man, what a mess. Our priorities are all out of sorts. We're prioritizing stuff and things and busyness and all kinds of, even some good things, above God. And we want this and we want this and we want this. But God says, here is what you need, but we've got it all out of sorts. And we haven't realized it, but what we've allowed to take place is we have clung to the wants that we have. And because of that, we're missing out on the greatest needs we have. And God wants to move in our lives, and God wants us to be made right with God. God wants us to be righteous before Him. God wants to use our lives to make a difference in the lives of other people. He wants us to use us to love other people the way we need to love them. But He can't give us the life here and the life hereafter that He wants us to have if all during our lives all we do is cling to the wants, missing out on the very needs that only Christ can meet in our lives. But such was the case with this rich young ruler. He made the choice, okay, even though his heart was filled with sorrow, okay, I'm going to be okay with my wants and miss out on all of the needs. And again, God wants us to have abundant life here. He wants us to have eternal life there in heaven with Him for all of eternity. And He wants us to experience all the blessings that come in living a life surrendered to God. Living a life completely given to God. He wants us to experience the blessings of a life full of purpose, full of satisfaction, because all that we need is in Christ. But if we are more concerned with keeping what we have because it's what we want, then we'll always be lacking in the areas of our lives that truly matter. And He would always be lacking in what truly mattered. We cannot ever get to the place God wants us to be at if we hold on to the things that God wants us to get rid of. Right now in your life, there have been some things in your life that God has been telling you to get rid of, to get out of your life for a long time, and you're still clinging to those things. There's been an attitude in your heart that God has been telling you needs to go for a long time, and you're still holding on to that attitude in your heart. Maybe there's been the sin in your life that God's been telling you, hey, if you want to experience my best, then you've got to get rid of this. And you've been holding on to what you want and missing out on what God says you need. We can never grow closer to God. Christian, we can never grow closer to God, more mature, if we're prioritizing our wants above our needs before God. And if you're a non-Christian, the only way you can be saved and have eternal life is to get rid of all the clutter. That clutter for you looks like sin, just like it does in all of our lives. But that sin in your life has separated you from God. And the only way that you can get through that clutter and have a relationship with Christ and experience heaven one day is if you turn from that sin, get rid of all that clutter, and make Jesus the Lord, the Master, the boss of your life. That's the only way, placing your faith in Him. And God wants to use all of us to change the world, all of us to make a difference in other people's lives, but it starts with you and I asking ourselves the question, what is it that God's wanting me to get rid of that I'm holding on to? Because Jesus gave him a challenge. I want you to get rid of this so that you can have this. And essentially he said, okay, no. I'd rather keep this and miss out on all of that. What a tragedy. But how true it is of our lives. When we pray over and over, God do this, God do this, God do this. And God is saying, I need you to do this. I need you to rid this of your life. I need you to take this clutter and I need you to place the for sale sign in the yard. And I need you to begin to get rid of this idea, this mindset, this thing, that thing. I need you to get rid of all of this so that I can take your life and use you for my glory in ministering and meeting the needs in other people's lives. But yet we're not willing to do that. Sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's other things. Whatever the clutter is, we've got to be willing to get rid of the wants so that God can meet the needs. And the third thing is this, we have to be willing to sell out to God before we've sold out to the things of the world. We have to be willing to sell out to God before we've sold out to all those things that possess us. Because when we've sold out to the things that possess us, then all that life has at that point is ruin, discouragement, agony, and pain. And you see it, we've all seen it. We've all seen people who have sold out to possessions, who've sold out to pride or to some other form of sin, who've sold out to an attitude of heart and nobody wants to be around. We've all seen people who've sold out to something and they're miserable. In fact, the most miserable people you and I will ever meet are those who've sold out instead of selling out to God. I tried to think of a rhyme with this, but I couldn't really think. Clutter isn't fixed by peanut butter. It takes more than that. That's the only thing I can't. I really couldn't figure out anything on this one. But look at verse 21 again. Jesus said unto him, if you want to be perfect. That doesn't mean without sin. Nobody's without sin besides the man that just said that. That means complete, spiritually mature. If you want to be made right with God, if you want to be right with God, go and sell that you have. Give it to the poor. And then you'll have treasure in heaven, then come and follow me. So Jesus had just given him the commandments that he needed to be keeping. And then Jesus told him that, he told Jesus, I've kept all of these things. All of these things. But we're told he still lacked. He still lacked. You see, it's not a list of to-dos that we can check off that get us into heaven. No, this guy had all the to-dos. It's a love for God and it's a faith in what God's already done for us that get us into heaven. And that's why Jesus tested this man's love for God and this man's love for other people with what he said in verse 21. The guy said, look, I haven't committed adultery. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't lied. I've done these things. But he knew he still lacked something. And Jesus said, here's what you lack. And so he shares what he does in verse 21. And then the man still chooses to leave, unwilling to do what God has challenged him to do, unwilling to do what Christ has asked him to do, to have the life that Christ wants him to have. In other words, he was unwilling to sell out to the Lord Jesus Christ because he'd already sold out to everything that had possessed him. And what he proved is that he loved himself more than he loved Jesus. He proved that he loved himself more than he loved others. He proved that his heart was not for God, but his heart was really inclined toward everything he had that was keeping him from God. Had he sold out to all of those things, he had sold out to all of those things, and he wouldn't sell out to God, by loving others, by coming and following after Jesus. He wouldn't do it. And there are times, as I said a moment ago, that we have to be willing to put the for sale sign in the front yard of our hearts and lives, and start selling the clutter so that we can sell out to God. Start getting rid of all the stuff so that God can actually finally take our lives and mold and shape us into who we need to be for Him. So that God can truly see surrender in our hearts and lives. And truly see in our lives that we don't care about all the stuff that we have, because we want to do everything we can to live for God, to love God, and to love other people the way we need to love them. And here's how we sell out to God before we've sold out to all the other stuff. Here's how we get rid of the clutter so that hopefully we can truly love and live the way Jesus wants us to. We have to understand that we are blessed to be a blessing. And this is a strange thought for a Christian to have, right? No, it's not. It's truth. We have to understand that we are blessed to be a blessing. I get, again, that we are not all like the rich young ruler. And I don't know if any of us are. But here's what I do know. Even if we are poor, much less average by American standards, we are far more wealthy than most people living today. And we are far more wealthy than the vast majority of human beings who have lived throughout human history. Do you realize that? And having said that, look, we shouldn't feel bad about that. We shouldn't feel guilty over this, because this is only true because of God's blessings. And we don't need to apologize or feel bad for the blessings of God that He's poured upon our nation and our life. But here's what we should do. We should celebrate that truth, that we are so richly blessed beyond so many who have ever lived. And here's what we do. We celebrate it. And then we come to the understanding that when we have been given much, it means that we have much to give. And that is a radical way of thinking when you hear everything that all the world, you know, spews out. But it's the way that God wants us to think. Because it makes us like the servant who had been given many talents in Matthew 25. And it gives us the open opportunity we have to invest wisely into God's kingdom, to invest in the lives of people who are hurting, and truly, truly see an abundant return that no amount of money or stuff can ever, ever supersede. We have to understand that we are blessed to be a blessing. Do you realize everything, all the stuff in our lives that we allow to clutter our lives, God has given us, perhaps so that before it started cluttering our lives, it could have been a blessing to somebody else's? Before we've allowed all those things to start interfering with our relationship with Jesus, maybe He gave it to us just as a passing through vessel so that we can pass it on to somebody else. We're blessed to be a blessing. Secondly, if we're going to sell out to Jesus before we've sold out to all the stuff that hinders us, then we have to have faith in the promises of Scripture. We have to have faith in the promises of Scripture. Here's the truth. Often when we are unwilling to let go of the things in our lives that clutter them up, it's because we don't sincerely and truly trust in the promises of Scripture to us if we're willing to let go of those things and just to trust in Jesus. And you say, oh, preacher, I believe every word of the Bible. I know that. I do too. But do we live like it? Do we live like it? Because oftentimes, hey, there are a whole lot of Christians that don't, I think maybe something like 2 out of every 10 Christians actually tithe. And that may be generous. I'm not sure we're being generous through the series, right? That may be generous. But here's what we do. We don't give the tithe because we don't really believe that God will bless it and open the windows of heaven as He does so. But that's scriptural. It's a promise from God. In fact, it's the only place in the Bible that God says, you prove me or you test me in this. We don't believe that if we sow bountifully into the kingdom of God and into other people's lives, then we will reap bountifully, but we're promised that in the Word of God. We don't really believe that if we give sacrificially, then God will provide all of our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus, but we're told that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. That if we prioritize Him, then He's going to always prioritize our needs. But here's the problem. We hear those things, we read those things, but do we really have faith in the promises of Scripture? Because if we do, then it changes the way we live. It changes the way we give. It changes the way we look at other people. It changes the way we hold on to stuff that God's been wanting us to get rid of so that we can be a blessing to other people. It changes all of that. And there are many more promises in Scripture I could have given you, but those are just a few promises that will change our desire to keep and to clutter our lives with so many things that we don't really have, or don't really have the heart willing to meet the needs in other people's lives. We got to have faith in the promises of Scripture. And we have to honestly examine our lives. Honestly examine our lives. And here's what I find, and it's not fun, but here's what I find. When we make a sober assessment of our possessions, when we honestly examine our lives, what most of us find is this. Most of us find all kinds of clutter that we can clear out of our lives. And then an extraordinary thing happens. When we do that, in clearing out the clutter, it creates a greater capacity, not just to give monetarily, but to give of our time, talents, and pour it into other people's lives and start making the difference God wants us to make. Start making the difference God wants us to make. Have you ever in the summertime, you know, when you get out to your car, you know, or when you've driven somewhere, then you get back in it the next morning, how many of you ever have to turn on your windshield wipers and start washing them just to wipe away all the bugs? Just so you can see. Because, man, if you're driving at night and those things are still on that and the light hits you, you're just like in a snowstorm. You can't see where you're going. But we try to remove the clutter so that we can see clearly. But first of all, we have to honestly examine our lives before we know what needs to be removed. Before we can start clearing away the clutter so that we can see the way God wants us to see and love the way God wants us to love. The challenge to all of us is simply this. People are all around us and they're hurting. They're in need of help. They're crying out for help, as the young lady in the video today. But sadly, as Christians, we have filled our lives with so much stuff. And like I said, that can be money, it can be an attitude, it can be just the sins of pride and self, it can be so many things. We filled our lives with so much stuff that we don't have room to minister to the people that God brings into our lives on a very consistent basis. So this morning the challenge is simply to begin to examine our lives. I want you to listen to this illustration as we close our message.